Krishna. I welcome all of you today to our wonderful Chetna festival. It's an honor for me sitting with all of you, the future leaders of our country. As they say, the youth are the future of tomorrow. So we are very, very honored that I can speak to all of you about this topic, real leadership. As was wonderfully brought out in the drama, I think we should give them a real big hand for a wonderful satirical way, the way they presented the ideas. I think everyone got the message, right? Everyone got the message without taking any names. They presented the idea, the situation of today's leadership. And there's a very funny joke which reminded me when I saw this drama about politicians. Can I say the joke first? So there were three people who went to the gates of heaven. One was a politician, of course. One was a surgeon, and one was an engineer. All three of them landed at the gates of heaven and wanted to enter it. And Saint Peter came out and said, "Sorry, there was a problem, there was a mistake. Actually, only one of you was supposed to get entrance into the heavenly planets, but by mistake, all three of you have turned up, so we cannot allow." So all started fighting and saying, "We want to enter heaven." So they said, "Okay, we will take the one who proves that he is the oldest profession, the most oldest profession existing. Only he will be allowed." So then the surgeon very confidently said, "Then I have to gain entrance, because God made Eve out of the rib of Adam. So that means, surgery was done. So surgery was the first profession which was created." So then the engineer said, "No way." He's saying Adam and Eve was created after the whole, the whole creation was engineered and created out of chaos. First there was just a full big mess. And then, the engineer, the whole creation was created. So that is the work of an engineer. So I should be gaining entrance." So then the politician said, "Please, both of you, you will have to stay back, because I'm the one who's going to go first." Saying, "Why? How can you say that? Because who created the chaos in the first place, So the politician said, "I will go, because we create chaos." So that's the sorry state of affairs. But we are here to know about what is real leadership, and not to know what is not real leadership. So we can go ahead with this lecture which we prepared. The first point which I would like to tell each one of you is that please don't think leader means just doing narebazi, going for demonstrations or doing some hartal or doing something, giving fiery speeches. That's not what is real leadership. Leadership is actually something which each one of us can do in small ways. There's a wonderful event which happened, a very sad thing which happened in Kolkata recently. You heard? There was a fire which broke out in the basement of a hospital, and the fumes, because of the windows being closed, the fumes rose up to the floors. Have you heard of this? This was a front page news last month or 2 months back. And the fumes, because of the fumes, there were people who were getting suffocated to death, But there were two young ward boys who were, who were there in the hospital at that time. And everybody was running. Whoever could run was trying to get out of the hospital. But these two boys, they took some heavy object and started breaking all the windows. And first they were being stopped. They were saying, "What is this? What are you all doing? Why you all are breaking the windows? Why you're just, He's saying, "No, we have to do this." They both started picking up, breaking the windows, because of which so many of the... And then they started picking people up, and through the broken window they were trying to save them. And they saved so many people. Not only that, so much of the smoke was able to come out, because of which many people could be saved. Now, what is the difference between those people and the people who are running or trying to stop them? It was a simple thing. Both of them took an initiative, right? They took the initiative, they took the decision, they took the action at that moment. What was best? They decided this is best what we should do. And they didn't bother, you know, whether, you know, what others say. But they had to do what is the necessary thing at that time. So it is a small thing, but at the right time when it is done, that is real leadership. When you take the action. So real leadership is not just becoming a big name or getting a big position, but leadership is bringing a good effect or helping someone, influencing someone. So in that way, I'm remembering a very wonderful story which I heard. I mean, a story, very inspiring story which I read somewhere, where a mother approached a very saintly person, her guru, and said that, is life tough? Is life difficult? The guru told her, life is definitely tough, but the end is better than the beginning. So she heard this and she thought, how can the end be better than the beginning? Because she was a mother, she had sons and children to take care of. Every day of her life she would, you know, nurture the children. When they were scared, she would take them close and give them courage. And seeing that them develop courage, she used to think in my mind, how can the end be better than the beginning? When I can see, I can feel so much happiness seeing my child develop courage in life. Then next day they went to climb a hill, and all the children were struggling to climb the hill, and she was pushing each tiny child, you know, of her children, climb, climb, climb up further, you know, it's just here that you can achieve your goals. And seeing them striving hard to achieve their goals, she would think, this is such a happy day of my life when I can see the children achieving their goals, working hard to achieve their goals. And whenever there was darkness, when clouds were forming and they were sad or depressed, whenever she encouraged them in their path, you know, she saw so much hope in their eyes. And she said, definitely, you know, how can the end be better than the beginning when I can see them developing so much hope and courage in their lives? And years passed and she was, you know, she became sick and she was on her bed. And all her children were there at her bedside taking care of her. And, you know, she was so happy to see that these children had so much values and such good character that they were taking care of her so nicely. And the day she passed away, when she saw all her children become such responsible individuals and also with such good character and such strong personality and strong people with such good values, at that moment she realized what her guru had said. That actually, today I realize that seeing my children, the end is really more satisfying and more, it is giving me so much pleasure and happiness to see that all the years, whatever efforts I have put in on the children is now fruitful, because I can see that these children are going to be such strong, wonderful individuals that they will pass the same legacy to their children. So that means a woman or a mother is actually the leader, where these children felt at that moment of their lives that because she gave us that time from the childhood till today and made us what we are, even after she leaves the body, even after she is left, her presence will always be in our lives. She will never leave. Her teachings or her ideas or whatever training that has been given will always be there with us. So this is what a real leader is. A real leader leaves a legacy behind. In the sense that a leader is a person who can create more leaders, who has the power to inspire people. So don't you think that woman was a leader? She was a person who actually created people who could take this legacy forward and give their values, whatever they have learnt, you know, ahead in life. So this is a real leader. And my friends, today each one of you who are present here in this room has this power. You have this in your hands. This is your duty. This is your existence in this world as a woman is actually a chance for you to be a real leader and create a legacy for your children. So we don't have to get big names. Maybe the names, there are very great leaders in this world. As we go ahead, we will be discussing about them and what we can learn from them. But each one of us is a potential leader. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a very, very important shloka which says, Guru na sasyad, janani na sasyad. And the whole shloka is quite long, but it means that you have no right to take the position of a guru or a mother or a father or a teacher unless you take the responsibility to see to it that the people who are dependent, who are under you, whom you are taking care of, reach the goal of life or learn the foundation of what is the real goal of life, understand the real values and strive for the spiritual goals and see that they perfect their lives. Unless we are able to do that, we have no right to take these positions. That's how highly it is spoken of. You know, everybody wants a leader, right? If you go to see each one of us, we all want or look towards or look up to a leader always. Since the time we came into this world, we have been looking up to somebody. Don't you think so? Each one of you will be definitely, if I ask, will be having so many role models. We all look up to people from beginning from our childhood to our favorite teacher in kindergarten, right? In KG class or in the primary school, somehow I've seen this among children, you know, small children. I've seen my daughter growing up when she was in primary school. The way they idolize their teacher, actually they start talking like them. They start behaving like them, you know. Even the small, actually, one of the teacher had a lisp. So all the children started speaking with a lisp. And we were wondering why they are all speaking like that. But actually it was the effect of, you know, one of the teachers whom like they become so attached to them. So this is how like everyone wants leaders, everyone wants role models in life. We like to follow or, you know, do exactly, especially in the teenagers age group. This age group is specially known for that. If you go to your rooms or hostel rooms, there are like posters and posters and posters put up everywhere. But unfortunately, they are posters of film stars or sports stars nowadays. Isn't it? You agree to that? There's nothing wrong with it. It's natural. It's a part of growing up. But somehow when we are young, we tend to get attracted to such role models who are, you know, very, very glamorous, very, very attractive, or, you know, they are achievers, they have achieved something. So it's natural to get attracted to such kind of people. I mean, even in the 1940s or 50s, there was a film star who was like a cowboy image, you know, had his cigarette dangling from his mouth always, you know, like this. And he would speak with the cigarette dangling from the mouth. That was his style. And everybody was mad about him. They idolized him like anything. And the whole generation of youth started talking with the cigarette dangling from their, you know, mouth like that. And unfortunately, many, many years later, that film star died of cancer. And of course, you can imagine what happened to all the people whom he influenced so much to start smoking or putting a cigarette just in the same style. So that's the problem, is that we have to use our intelligence, which role models we want to choose in our life, which kind of leaders we would like to follow. That's very, very important. Because there's a shloka in Bhagavad Gita which says that human mentality, I mean, which explains perfectly, yad yad acharati sheshtas tat tad eva taro jana sayat pramanam kurute lokas tad anuvartate. Anuvartate means follow or imitate or, you know, kind of yad yad acharati shreshtas. That means the shreshtha means the topmost kind of personality or the most, how they behave in their life, yad yad acharatis, the way they lead their lives, common people, they follow exactly what those leaders, how they lead their lives, you know, they follow the same way. This is a shloka which is in Bhagavad Gita. But the problem is this word Shrestha is, changed quite a bit now. In the earlier Vedic times, Shrestha means a person who was having such a wealth of knowledge, such wealth of character, such wealth of integrity. Like in the example, like the great kings, you know, who used to look upon great saintly people as leaders. They were considered as true leaders. Even the kings, they would bow down before the saintly persons and take guidance, take all the advice from saintly people. They were the leaders of the society. But unfortunately, as the time has this, even the leaders of society, we can see they have completely, because of the degradation of the society, because of the degradation of the leaders, people have lost trust in such people. And today, who have become the Shrestas? People who are just plain wealthy, just by having money, people get so many followers. Just by having money or some position, they have so many followers. So there have been many, many leaders who have changed the whole course of history. In India especially, we have a wealth of information about such great leaders who have created a revolution. Of course, recently there was in the news that, did you know that Mahatma Gandhi has been canonized as a saint by the Roman Catholic Church? They have recognized and canonized him as a church, as a saint. I mean, that's the impact that he had on in the world, not just India. The whole world today is looking up to, all the teachings that he has given, Mahatma Gandhi. So he's been made a saint now, canonized. He was a great leader, no doubt. He actually taught the message of Bhagavad Gita. At least that was his intention. He wanted to make people, understand that how the life should be based on the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. And why is he a great leader? Because he actually lived by the principles of Bhagavad Gita. That's why he's so famous. Until today he's so famous. Right? He's been known all over the world. And not just political like leaders, we have so many saintly persons whose legacy is going forward. Who's a personality? A lady? Spiritual person? You know anybody? Mother Teresa, yeah. Mother Teresa has started a movement actually, and her legacy is still going on still after she has left. And so many thousands of people she has helped. And she has created an institution which has been inspired by her, is still doing that work. This is the quality of a leader. And as we go further behind in India, there was the freedom struggle, right? So many of the freedom fighters or the leaders who fought for the independence, today they may have been forgotten. There were so many people who died, but all the credit is taken by the people who are alive, who are still alive. We fought for the freedom and they have to be glorified and they get so many benefits. But that's the end result. Each person who contributed to fight for the independence, each one has sacrificed so much, has given their lives for that. So we see there were so many freedom fighters such as Bhagat Singh, Chandrasekhar Azad. They sacrificed their lives. And what was the one thing which was pushing them? The only thing which was inspiring them was that we may not enjoy the freedom, but they did this sacrifice for others. That people who come after us will be able to live in a free country and will have all the benefits what we did not enjoy. This is the quality of a true leader. And the most latest example, who actually led a nationwide protest against corruption, Anna Hazare, is a modern day leader who's following the principles of Gandhi. But he actually gave the full credit. I mean, he inspired the youth. He said that the youth has come forward to support me in this campaign and, you know, to fight against corruption. How did the youth become inspired by him? Because he led from the front, right? That's what the youth are looking for. They want leaders, they want direction, they want somebody who can show them the direction to do something in life. So definitely he, because he himself took the sacrifice, he was fighting from the front rather than, you know, people, today's leaders, they do all remote control, everything hiding behind, safe in their palaces, comfortable, you know, they want to control everything. But this is what is an inspiring example. So these are the modern day leaders, but most of the leaders are inspired, I mean, the Shastras, the Vedic examples of the leaders, I mean, we cannot match in any way the examples that we are going to discuss. Of course, they are the most idealistic level of, you know, leadership, and the qualities which they have shown in their life, it may seem in today's day and age sometimes too far out, you know, it's like it's impossible. How can anybody do something like that, you know? So we see that the Bhagavatam is full of stories of such kind of personalities who proved by their qualities that they are the true leaders or the great leaders of this of Bharatvarsha. A very shining example is, of course, Parikshit Maharaj. If you may know, Parikshit Maharaj is the last descendant who was cursed, last descendant of the Pandava dynasty, and he was cursed, you know, by a Brahmana to die within 7 days. And he was not an ordinary soul. He was the emperor of the whole world. He had so much power, not just position, but even his own power, by his own spiritual power, that he could have easily counteracted that curse. Or he could have just told, get lost, you know, I'll put you in jail, what can you do? But at that time, the Brahmanas had so much power. Because of their purity, because of their, you know, sadhana, they had that much power that whatever they say would come true. So the Brahmana cursed Parikshit Maharaj to die within 7 days. Of course, now Brahmana at that time were the leaders of the society because they had all these powers. But as time went by, they have no powers like this, and actually they degraded because of their own, behavior, you know, exploitative behavior, and they came down. But Parikshit Maharaj had so much spiritual as well as, authority. If he wanted, he could have just counteracted that curse. But he did not do that because he wanted to set an example as the king. A king is a person, or a leader is the one who does not misuse his power. Whatever power is given to us, it has to be used only for the good of others. That was his character. So even though he could counter curse, he never resisted nor this. At that moment, he just renounced or sacrificed his position and just left for the forest. And because of which we today are having this wealth of knowledge in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. So a true leader gives a legacy for others, leaves a legacy which everyone can follow. Of course, the epitome of the best example of leadership which we all can learn from the Shastras, the best personality, is of course Lord Ram. He is known as Maryada Purushottam, or the best of all leaders, or best of all kings. He is the best of all. Why? Because the example that he set in his life is the ideal most. You know, is the ideal. None of us today, we can see anything like that. But of course, the idea is that we have to follow in the footsteps of these great personalities. We can never imitate them. We cannot imitate their level of character, but we can always follow in their footsteps. So Lord Ram, what is the one quality of a leadership? He had, of course, thousands of qualities, but one quality which, as a leader, which we should learn from is that he never ever show any partiality. He was completely impartial. He had equal vision for all. And when does that come about? That quality come about when he goes to Lanka and he's about to start the war to fight against Ravana. Just before the fight, Vibhishan comes and approaches him and begs for shelter. And everyone is against. Everyone says that, no, that's not a good decision. You are a leader, you should never take any, give any support to the enemy. They are on the other side. And many people were protesting. But Lord Ram was very clear. He could see that, of course, he could see that Vibhishan was a genuine person. But more than that, at that moment, he tells that what to speak of Vibhishan. Even if Ravan himself comes at this moment and takes shelter and asks me for help, I am ready to forgive everything and I will give him shelter. This is the quality, this is the height actually. We would never, any of us would be able to have that level of, equal vision. So this is the quality of Ram, one of the qualities. He has thousands of qualities, but this one quality as a leader we can always get inspired by and get, try to imbibe in our life, that whatever happens, we see everyone with equal vision. We do not differentiate between people, and we should give our love and compassion to each and every person, whoever we meet. Another quality of a good leader which we can learn from is Dhruva Maharaj. In Bhagavatam, Dhruva Maharaj, though he was just a child, he was just a 5-year-old child. And he was put in a very, very awkward situation where his own stepmother insulted him and told him that you cannot sit on the lap of your father. And he was so insulted and so devastated by that. And in his heart, he made the decision that I will work so hard that come to that position where I can, surpass even my own father and grandfather. That was his desire. In his heart, though he started out in his quest, he wanted something material. He wanted a very high position just to give back to his mother, stepmother. He thought that I will get the mercy of the Lord and for that I will work so hard. And it is given in Bhagavatam, just a 5-year-old child alone in the jungle doing such austerities which, we can only read about. We cannot even think of practicing, fasting, only on air and water and, without food, without water, without air, for 6 months continuously. That's the level of determination that he showed to achieve a goal which seemed material in the beginning. But because of his intense, desire, intense sadhana, the Lord himself appeared. And of course, by the mercy of the Lord, Lord gave him that vision to understand that what to speak of, getting wealth, position, even a kingdom bigger than, bigger, vast, as vast as Lord Brahma's creation. Once you get the association of the Lord, everything seems so insignificant. That's the realization that Dhruva Maharaj got. That once you have the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then even wealth, position, everything is like a broken pieces of glass. That's what Dhruva Maharaj says in Bhagavatam, that seeing you are like a jewel, you are like a diamond. And compared to that, all this wealth, position is like broken pieces of glass. Which politician today will be able to speak like this? Will say that position, wealth is like broken pieces of glass. They are ready to kill for that chair, right? They are ready to kill. They are ready to, scheme, rob, plan just to hold on to their position. Not just politicians. I'm not talking about politicians. This is not a program. I mean, this is not a place where we are just speaking about politicians. It's each one of us. Any individual who wants to get a position or wealth is actually after broken pieces of glass. So a leader who is ready to exploit people, kill people just to get his position is such a bad example. So Dhruva Maharaj is teaching by his example how a true leader strives or works hard with determination to achieve the, right goal. And in Bhagavatam, the whole Mahabharat is based on the exemplary quality of Pandavas. All five Pandavas, each one were, ek se badhkar. Each one had such wealth of qualities, and each one of them was so exemplary throughout their lives. They were ready to face any kind of, burnt alive, tried to be killed. Each one of them was attacked. Their life was always in danger. But at every step, what is the difference that we see? Is that they were completely dependent on the Lord's mercy. That's the one quality which stands out in Pandavas. And Yudhishthir Maharaj and Arjuna, they are all known today as great leaders because they, of course, Arjuna, he is such a great leader because of him, we could hear the Bhagavad Gita. Lord Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, and Arjuna was the one who actually he set the trend, to follow, for all of us to follow. He showed by example how just by following the, following the instructions of the Lord, you can perfect your life. So that means, what inspiration can we get from that? Is that if we lead our life based on the principles of Bhagavad Gita, we will get inspiration to do something in this world. We'll get inspiration to bring about a change. So we have to understand that as we hear in these Vedic examples, how these people set such great examples and we learn so many things from them, there are also been such leaders who have created havoc. So we can learn what you should not do from some, pseudo leaders or those who claim to be leaders, but actually they were worse, For example, Arjuna and the other example on the other side, which I forgot to speak about, is Duryodhan. Arjuna was inspired, or his aim or his only goal of life was to please the Lord in every action. Whatever I do, the aim is just to please the Lord. Whereas Duryodhan, he was inspired by his ego, his greed, just to get position. And for that, the entire Kuru dynasty was destroyed. Just to fulfill that greed of his. You could see that one bad leader can completely destroy the entire, dynasty. And we have so many modern day examples, One leader one great king, we can't call him great, but I have a personal great anger towards him, Aurangzeb. Whenever I go to Vrindavan and see the beautiful temples completely disfigured and the statues completely broken, and when I see the havoc that was created, you can actually feel the pain and the suffering and what anger, I can actually feel that when I go and see that, you know, the amount of havoc this one person has created in the whole of India. You know, sometimes I wonder which hell he must be in for destroying so many this. So when you are, when the leader is completely pushed by envy or greed, then it can create such an havoc. There's a story about Govindji temple. Aurangzeb was on his palace, and the Govindji temple was the most beautiful creation, the best temple with the, you know, such beautiful carvings. There were, you know, actually gems on each and every, you know, precious stones were, you know, studded in each and every wall. I mean, the carvings were so beautiful. And he was on his palace on the terrace, and far away he saw a lamp which was burning much higher than, you know, on a very high, big height. And immediately his ego was hurt so much that how can there be another structure which is much more higher than my house or my palace? You know, I am the king. I am the, you know, emperor. There can be nothing higher than me. This is the level of egoism. You know, the power actually goes to the head, bolte na. Like, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely, you know. So, you know, he was like completely corrupted, you know, by his power which went to his head. And he just couldn't tolerate that. Immediately he took his army and he went straight looking for that. And he came to Vrindavan, and when he saw this magnificent temple, this beautiful structure, so much envy, so much anger, it took him 7 years to break it down and disfigure each and every statue. He was ready to put in that much effort just to prove that he is the most superior person. So this is what power can do. You know, it can actually destroy a person. So, and of course we have Hitler, a worst example of a leader, though it is said that his speeches were so powerful that people used to be so mesmerized, like they would stare, I mean they would be completely hypnotized by his speeches. There have been very great leaders who were very good speakers, you know, Martin Luther King. We read in Maharaj's book, Radhanath Maharaj's book, I was reading that part, how Martin Luther King was speaking, and it actually inspired Radhanath Maharaj to participate in that demonstration where, you know, he took part in that rally. And actually it can inspire people, you know, the speeches. But Hitler, unfortunately, he affected the people in such a negative way and caused the massacre of millions of Jews. So we can see from this that what we should not be, you know. So a true leader and a pseudo leader, a bad leader, can have such an impact on our lives. So let us just go through quickly what are the qualities of a good leader, and what is the qualities, you know, which a bad leader, or what are the qualities which we should not try to do. And each one of us can try to imbibe these qualities in our life. It is completely, we can do it in small ways. We don't have to be big leaders with big followers behind us. It's a small act. Everything which you can do from your day to day, from the time you wake up in the morning, you go to school or college, you know, you come back. Every day of your life, this is known as day-to-day leaders. You go out, you see somebody, you know, like a blind person not able to cross the road, you help that person to cross the road. It's something which you have taken an initiative, right? You've taken an action to help somebody. That itself is good leadership. Take up a cause, something which you can help. Sometimes you feel, oh, this environment, it's a, you know, wasted energy. What can you change? you know, everything is completely going to the, you know, the whole environment is so polluted. What can you do now? We can speak that way actually. It may seem like that, but actually if you go to see each one of you, each one of us can actually do something if we want. We begin in our own small way to bring about a change, and definitely we'll see that within few years there will come about a change. So especially this topic of environment is very close to my heart, because each one of us has to take up this cause. Each one of us has to make an effort to bring about a change in our own sphere of activity, in whatever way you can. So each person counts actually. So that's what is a day-to-day activity. You can bring about a change just in your day-to-day life. So we'll go about the qualities. Is pseudo leader versus a great leader or a good leader. A pseudo leader will only work for position. His whole aim is to just get a position. Whereas a leader, real leader, works to bring about an action, a change in life. A poor leader just wants to control, just take control of the situation. Whereas a good leader supports a cause or supports some people who are doing something good. You know, if we support, it actually inspires others to also support, right? So a leader, a pseudo leader, just wants to take an authoritative position and wants to control others. Whereas a good leader just does not try to take an authority. We have to become like a mentor to others, not give orders to people, but take care of them so that they feel inspired to bring about a change or do something, anything you take up. So a good leader will not try to just give orders, do this, do this, do this, do this. This is not how we should be. We should actually take care of the people who are with us and together, you know, work towards a goal as a team. A bad leader only thinks about getting expertise in technical expertise or learning to do a thing good, you know, just go about the mechanical process. But a good leader just does not concentrate on the techniques, but concentrates on the people who are involved, takes care of the people, knows how he's conscious of how to manage the people better. A bad leader just wants to talk and give, you know, orders or instruct people or advise people. But each one of us can listen more and become a better, once we become a better listener, when we listen to other people's problems and other people who are in trouble, when we listen to them, we're actually giving them our time and inspiring them to bring about a change. Rather than just advising and talking to people all the time, telling them what to do. A good leader is one who actually listens to people and actually tries to help them out in whatever problems they have. A bad leader is completely self-centered. As we saw the examples, completely egoistical. The whole world revolves around them. Everything is for their enjoyment. But this is not a quality of a real leader. A person who is a real leader, his whole life is centered towards service, giving service to others, serving others in whatever way, you know, you can. And a bad leader just looks for short-term gain. What I can get immediately out of this. But a good leader, one quality which we can all try to apply even in our life, is looking for long-term gains. Not be so short-sighted just to get, you know, quick money or quick, you know, the quick methods that nowadays it's very prominent with today's youth. Everybody wants to become fast, everything fast. The rich, fast, quick fix schemes are very popular nowadays. Why? Because it's easy, right? You get immediate, you know. But actually, it doesn't help in the long run. In Bhagavatam, this concept is called as Shreyas and Prayas. So something which you get immediate results, you know, is not actually, if it is not with the right goals or right aims, then it can actually, you know, have a detrimental effect. So as good leaders, we should develop this quality of aiming for those activities or those goals which will give you long-term benefits. For example, a good leader has a foundation, a life which is based on a very strong foundation, based on principles, values, integrity, and has high belief systems. This foundation is what which keeps, you know, a building strong, right? Any building, if the foundation is weak, will be swept away very easily. So if you take that much effort to build a strong foundation in your life, then that foundation will make you so strong that it will help you to withstand all the, you know, problems or obstacles or whatever, you know, difficulties that may come in your life. And you'll be able to stand strong. So each one of us, as if we want to make a change in our life, not only our life, or bring about a change in this world, we have to base our life on a very, very strong foundation. What is that foundation? Great saints have said that if we base our life on a strong foundation of spirituality, you see, all the great leaders of this world, they all had a very strong spiritual foundation, because of which they were inspired to do big things or great things. That is the source from which our inspiration should come. And that is the only source of inspiration which actually can bring about a big change, if you like, if you want to create. But for that, we need to work for long-term benefits. It's not something which happens overnight. You have to work to build that foundation. It's a everyday, you know, as we see in the example of the mother taking care of, you know, her children, it's an everyday for years and years and years, you know, that much foundation you have to give to build up that character, to make that character strong enough so that you can, you know, be a good leader, or bring about a change or inspire people. So if our lives are based on developing that foundation, making that foundation strong, that is the thing which will give us the inspiration. And our foundation is based on, as we said in Bhagavatam, this process of prayers is like working for developing a spiritual bank account. Have a, you know, put in effort to become spiritually strong. All great people in this world, our very own example of Srila Prabhupada, we can see from his lifetime, it is like a lifetime of preparation. It's not that leaders just pop out like this, out of the sky. They just don't become great overnight. It's an effort which is done over the years. A lifetime of preparation is done. And that's when, it, you know, in the end we see the results. So Srila Prabhupada, from his, you know, almost 40-50 years went by preparing himself to fulfill that instruction of his spiritual master which was given to him. And he worked so hard for that. So that is the legacy which he has left for us. That is the, even long after he has gone, there are people who are benefiting just by the words that he has written and the books that he has given us, the teachings that he has given us. So this is what a true leader is. And we should follow in the footsteps of such leaders. So we have a decision to make today, as each one of us, you know, as we read in Radhanath Maharaj's book and in the drama which we read, if A person does not have an ideal or a cause which he would is ready to give his life for. There is nothing worthwhile in his life to live for. This statement is very, very powerful, because as youth today, each one of us has the power to bring about a change. So we have to decide that what should I do now to develop these qualities of a leader? What should I do now so that I can develop my character or my personality in such a way that I can influence others, not to get followers, not to become popular. We don't want to become Miss World or Miss Universe or Miss. We are not developing our personality just to get, you know, empty praise. We want to become a personality which will attract others, mainly because we want them to attract them to the path of bhakti, or attract them to Krishna. This is the only aim that we should have. Because Prabhupada has said that this movement of Krishna consciousness, you know, now today is a Saturday evening, everybody must be, the you know, freaking out. Some are in disco, some are in, you know, I don't know which shows or what programs. But few of you are here. Very few of you. You could be doing anything at this moment. But you have taken your time to come here and listen to something which will inspire you and, you know, help others. Right? That's one thing what I want to say, is that you have the choice today to actually do something which will help you to either influence others in the right direction or just be like one of the crowd. But Prabhupada says that Krishna consciousness is only for leaders. It's only for leaders. There may be many stars, but there is only one moon, right? So there are leaders are very few always. And they set the trend for the common people. And the common people follow the leaders, right? So this movement is only for leaders. That means each one of you who is present here is already a leader. You have to accept this, that you are the leader of society. Not as just, you know, being youth and the future of the nation, but as a person who is a spiritual person, a Krishna conscious person, is a natural leader. Has to be. You are a natural leader. That duty or that has been already given to you by Srila Prabhupada. So when you have been already given that position of a leader, how much is the responsibility of each one of you to understand that, how can I be a good leader? How can I bring about a change or affect people's lives, inspire them towards the lotus feet of Lord Krishna? How can I inspire them? By my behavior, by the way I talk, by the way I walk, by the way I think. It's not just how you look, it's even how you think that can create effect on people's lives. It is very subtle. So if each one of you understands that I am in this mission of Srila Prabhupada and I am being given this duty or to be a leader, not to get followers, but to inspire people to the path of Krishna consciousness, to bring them to the right goal of life, so that we can, you know, help so many people. Everybody is suffering in this world. Agreed? We can see so much suffering going on everywhere. All, not just poverty. It's not just that the poor people are suffering. In fact, the rich people are suffering more than the poor. But we are not going to discriminate. We don't want to discriminate between the poor or the rich. It's not that we should only take care of or provide food to the poor. That's just common philanthropy. Anybody can give food to the poor people. There are so many NGOs working, you know, providing food. But we want to give prasad to everybody, not just the poor. Even the wealthy people are hungry in the heart. They don't have that spiritual love or that spirituality which can, you know, remove their suffering. So we are not going to discriminate. We have to give Krishna consciousness to everyone. This is the quality. So this is the legacy that has been given to us by Srila Prabhupada. This is the responsibility that has been given to us. Each one of us who is present today. And I request all of you to take this legacy, take this responsibility and take this position as a leader in a humble way. Not thinking that, oh, we are like devotees, that means we are like gift to the mankind. You know, we are the greatest, we have all the best qualities and we have everything perfect, and all the other unfortunate souls, you know, we have to take care of them. This is not the attitude of a good leader. We have to think that, feel that, how can I actually set such a good example myself that I can inspire people to take to the path of Krishna consciousness. So that choice is there within each one of us. And I really am happy and I'm sure seeing the drama. I mean, just a small example of such talent, you know, that each one of us has here, you know. And how we can use each of our talents in the service of Krishna consciousness. Whatever talents we have, each one, whatever you may be, each one is unique. Every person is a unique personality. Everyone has different you know, qualities or talents. And whatever you have, you can actually engage it in the service of Krishna. And bring about a change. May not be so big, may not be seen by people, but at least in your area of, you know, of influence. So I beg all of you today that when you leave from here today, make this decision in your heart that I want to help to bring about a change, not only in my own life first. A good leader who is one who actually is a good follower first, right? Unless you become a good follower, we cannot become a good leader. Unless we follow our leaders or our teachers or gurus' instructions perfectly or nicely in our own life, we will not be able to inspire others. So if we want to inspire others, we have to become good followers first. So with a humble attitude, which is the foremost quality of a good leader, we understand our responsibility as a small, insignificant. We may be small, we may be insignificant part in the whole plan of Lord Krishna. But the fact that each one of us has come here into Krishna consciousness, there is definitely a plan for each one of us. And we are just have to understand what is the role that I have to play in this part. What is the role that God has given me this opportunity to become a leader and become empowered enough to bring about a change. If I have been given this service, if I have been given this responsibility, you know, make an effort to understand and value that and remain in Krishna consciousness and perfect your life. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. If there is any questions, I can take now.